SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch. Find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together here bright and early on this Monday to start off your new week. DRS, today is the only sports equinox of 2023. Remember the date. October 30th, 2023, the only sports equinox of the year. That's when we have the four major men's professional sports leagues all in action on the same day. We have an NFL game on this Monday night in the Motor City. A Major League Baseball World Series game as we go to downtown Phoenix. 11 games in the association, 9 more on the ice in the NHL. Happy sports equinox to you, DRS.
Yep, ready to get after it this week. A huge week. And also, going back to look at college football, ramps up once again this weekend. Some marquee matchups in the NFL coming forward for this Sunday. But how about this past Sunday, Ben? Nobody had any bye weeks here. And also, some of the Titans of the NFL slipped up over the weekend. Can't wait to talk about it.
And we break it all down. Our perfectly adequate reactions to a Sunday in the National Football League. Not quite overreaction Monday, but that's what we bring you here on TEL. So, Donnie, let's dive right in. One of those marquee matchups yesterday on the Sunday slate in weekend number 8 of this NFL season out in Santa Clara. The San Francisco 49ers actually had Brock Purdy under center from the start, clearing concussion protocol over the weekend. He was out there as the Niners tried to snap a two-game skid, make that 3 in a row, because on the other side, the Bengals, fresh off the bye, Donnie, have responded. 3 straight wins for Cincy, 31-17 the victory for the Bengals yesterday up in Northern California. Quickly, let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here, the opening hour of a new day, a new week, live right here on this Monday on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. I am Ben, he is Donnie, and this is a Monday on TEL. DRS, the Bengals win outright as a 4.5-point underdog on the road in Santa Clara, handing San Francisco its third consecutive loss.
Give me the box score here, Ben. 365 yards passing out of Brock Purdy. 2 touchdowns scored by Christian McCaffrey. And they got smoked on their home field by double digits. 31-17 final. If we can just take a snapshot from this game, and you can say the rest of the way, this is what I'm getting from the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm on board here. They're going to do some damage in the AFC. And also, maybe a light at the end of the tunnel. You look at the top of the standings there. A loss from Kansas City. Now the Bengals sitting at 4-3 at a pivotal moment. But also, we'll talk about it later. The 49ers, 3 straight losses here. Where did they go? Well, into the bye week to start.
In the first 5 weeks of this NFL season, there was no more impressive team than San Francisco. In those 5 victories, Brock Purdy threw 0 interceptions. In their 3 losses, 5 INTs, including 2 costly ones yesterday against the Bengals. Joe Burrow on the other side, looking much healthier, Donnie. Not only the mobility, but 28 of 32, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jamar Chase has the century mark in terms of receiving yards yesterday as well. DRS, one of the surprises yesterday on that Sunday slate, for the first time in 16 games, the Denver Broncos upend the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver snapping a 16-game losing skid against their divisional rival 24-9 yesterday at home in Mile High. They went outright, Donnie. Do the Broncos as a 7.5-point dog.
Yeah, and it was a good performance by the Broncos at home. Where do you want to get them? In colder weather, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Also coming out yesterday to start the day, some of that news breaking. A little bit under the weather, Patrick Mahomes. But I'll tell you who's under the weather. That's the wide receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs. This team isn't nearly as potent as they were just a few years ago. Now, were they winning football games and coming in 6-1? Is it hard to win on the road against a division rival? Technically, it is. But we're looking for more question marks here than actual answers right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see what happens. Why, Ben? With what, 24, 48 hours? That deadline is approaching fast here in the NFL. Maybe some of these teams will make some moves, including the Chiefs.
No touchdowns yesterday for that potent Chiefs offense. Only three field goals off the right foot of Harrison Butker. Russell Wilson, in terms of yards, not great. 114. He was sacked six times, but he did throw three touchdown passes. That Broncos defense, truly the one leading the way to a victory yesterday. DRS, not all wins are created equal in the National Football League. You knock off a divisional foe on the road, that's about as good as it gets. And that's what the Vikings did yesterday in Lambeau against the Green Bay Packers. But with the good comes the bad. Kirk Cousins late in that football game, Donnie, feared to have torn his Achilles. He is probably on the shelf for the remainder of this season.
Yeah, you saw that midway through the fourth quarter, a little bit of a slip trying to maneuver out of the pocket, goes down, hobbles off the field, and that's going to end his season with the Minnesota Vikings and maybe his career. And it's a shame because he might have been having his best statistical season that he's ever had, and also a couple games without Justin Jefferson. They move to 4-4. If he doesn't get injured, Justin Jefferson back on the horizon, the Detroit Lions may be a little bit vulnerable now. Maybe it could have been a playoff run for the Minnesota Vikings that we didn't see coming, but that all but ends it now. You're going to go for backup quarterbacks, maybe trade for a veteran, but the season is done. And now for the Vikings, they're looking forward to the future. Who's going to be their new man at quarterback, probably coming in the draft?
It's going to be Jaren Hall as of right now, the rookie day three draft pick out of BYU. Again, not exactly what Minnesota was looking for, because they get back to that even 500 number, Donnie. They started out 0-3. They have won four of their last five, including three straight. How about the first weekend in the association of this 2023-24 NBA season? The Golden State Warriors on the road in Houston, an 11-point victory over the Rockets. Steph was cooking last night, but Donnie, notably as well, Chris Paul comes off the bench for the first time in his long NBA career.
Yeah, Draymond Green came back to that game, so obviously there's going to be another starter that's going to be out of there at CP3. But how about this? Don't pout here. A plus 22 to lead the team coming off the bench for CP3. We figured that might be a very good role for him if he accepts it.
1,365 starts for the point guard, but can provide that veteran depth off the bench. Donnie, Major League Baseball, we head to Phoenix tonight for game number three of the World Series. The Rangers walked it off in dramatic fashion in the opener on Friday. Adolis Garcia, a historic MLB postseason in this October run. The Diamondbacks respond in game number two on Saturday night. A 9-1 victory for Arizona, including 16 hits, Donnie, for the D-backs.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing tonight. Look, the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to win and take the lead 2-1 in this series, but I've been ultimately impressed by the Diamondbacks. Game number one, they probably should have won. They should be heading back 2-0 heading back to Arizona, but I do believe they have the better pitcher on the mound tonight and a little bit of momentum. Watch out for the Snakes today.
We will break that game down here throughout these 3 hours on TEL. College football reactions as well. Donnie, not many teams can go to Salt Lake and knock off Utah in Rice-Eccles. In fact, the Utes entered Saturday with an 18-game home winning streak that comes to a close against Oregon. The Ducks triumphant, 35-6, covering as a 6.5-point favorite. And Donnie, history in Lawrence. Kansas snaps a long losing streak against Oklahoma. The Jayhawks knock off the Sooners, Donnie, for the first time since 1997.
To bean or not to bean, they move on with a massive victory there. And by the way, that head coach, we'll see how long he sticks around Lawrence for. He's a hot commodity out there.
Build the statue for Lance Leipold and Lawrence. DRS reaction from an NFL Sunday. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to a Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. We react now to week number 8 of this NFL regular season. DRS, in that late afternoon window yesterday, a ton of marquee matchups. Nobody had a bye during weekend number 8 for some peculiar reason. So we saw a ton of teams on the gridiron. And Donnie, all of our attention was paid to Santa Clara. The 49ers hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. A huge matchup between two teams, both expected to contend for a Super Bowl 58 Lombardi Trophy. But the Niners entered dropping two straight. The Bengals, after a 1-3 start to this year, fresh off the bye, how would Cincinnati look against one of the perceived best teams around the NFL? It was the Bengals making a statement. It was Cincy reminding everybody they have played in two consecutive AFC championship games, looking for their third. Three straight wins for the Bengals now, 31-17, winning outright, Donnie, as a 4.5-point underdog on the road in Northern California.
This is the team we've been waiting for in the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Ever since they lost that Super Bowl in a nail-biter to the Los Angeles Rams, we expected Joe Burrow and this talented group on offense, and certainly a great defense here with Lou Anarumo, to sort of appear each and every year as if they were going to be that Kansas City Chiefs-type run. And you say, man, I buried them a couple weeks ago. I thought they were done. I thought they looked terrible, and maybe Joe Burrow wasn't going to be healthy again. You tell me if Joe Burrow is healthy or not. Three touchdown passes, no interceptions. But as you alluded to start the show, how about this? Six carries, 43 yards, and a lot of those. I mean, we're doing shotgun quarterback draws on third and long and picking up first downs with Joe Burrow. You want to add that dimension to the offense now that he's healthy? That's impressive. Ja'Marr Chase, after he was angry a few weeks ago, 10 catches, 100 yards, and one touchdown here, back to being one of the elite wide receivers in football. T. Higgins back healthy, five catches for 69 yards. They did everything right, which includes Joe Mixon's 5.4 yards per carry against this 49ers defense. And also, the Niners defense did get home three times here, but only for 17 yards, but they couldn't turn over Joe Burrow. The question here is, for me, not so much the Bengals. It looks like they're going to be a pretty good team in the AFC, even though the San Francisco 49ers now sit at a 5-3 mark. That's three straight losses here. That's something that we haven't seen out of Brock Purdy. The kid doesn't lose in the regular season. Now he's lost a few games in a row, and also, did he rush back from a concussion? Because he did throw for 365 yards, and by the way, efficient at 22-31, but just had two bad interceptions once again. Just not enough for the San Francisco 49ers to come back in this football game. But I have way more questions now with the 49ers than I do the 4-3 Cincinnati Bengals, Ben.
And Brock Purdy, DRS, was a perfect 8-0 in his young starting career at home in Santa Clara. Yesterday, the first loss for Brock Purdy and San Francisco inside Levi's Stadium. And again, we talked about it early on in this show. The first five wins for this year, when the Niners scored at least 30 points in every game, looked like the most dominant side in the National Football League. Brock Purdy was playing high-level, efficient quarterbacking. He had not thrown for an interception in those first five wins. In the last three losses, DRS, five INTs, including two yesterday. Yes, 365 yards. Yes, he was the 49ers' leading rusher as well, with 57 yards on the ground. That's not necessarily a great thing for this San Francisco attack led by Christian McCaffrey. And I thought, DRS, whether it was Sam Darnold, as we expected entering the weekend, or Brock Purdy emerging somehow, some way out of concussion protocol yesterday, the ground game would be huge against the Bengals team that allowed more than 140 yards per game on the ground entering and is still a bottom five rushing defense in the National Football League. That was not the case. So as we look at San Francisco, Donnie, still an odds-on favorite, over a $2 favorite to win the NFC West, but they're not even in first place in the division right now. Three straight losses. Seattle comes back to beat Cleveland yesterday at home, sneaking by with a win. The Seahawks are 5-2. They sit in first, Donnie, in the NFC West.
Yeah, and by the way, you're taking a look here in the NFC West with the 49ers. Now, the Eagles, the reason I'm bringing up the Eagles here is the gauntlet hits for them, where they're going to have an unbelievable stretch coming up with the next five games here. One of those does include the San Francisco 49ers. But you've heard me talk so much times about the 49ers saying, look, their schedule is easier than the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, now they're two games back of the Eagles. Let's just say the Eagles go, I don't know, 2-3 over the next, let's just say 5 weeks, but that one of those two wins is against the 49ers. That's a game and a half win there for you, because then you get the tie breaker. When we're looking at these odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook that are finally shifting into a correct motion, where the Philadelphia Eagles are now the front runners in the NFC, so many times I said to myself, like, yeah, like the Niners can go into Philadelphia and lose that game, but the Eagles probably going to lose maybe two of those five games. You have an extra game lead, and the 49ers get home field advantage. You're looking for a Super Bowl champion. You want to be at home if you're the Eagles. You want to be at home if you're the 49ers. That's slipping away right now. And don't give me Trent Williams is out and also Deebo Samuel. What do you want Brock Purdy and the Niners to do? How about not lose three straight games where you're favored by a touchdown or more in just about every one of those games? That's an embarrassing performance yesterday for the 49ers, particularly on defense. That's where I sit with the Niners now. The questions are up in the air. They're still being priced, what, second place? Are they behind? I don't know if they're behind. I didn't check the latest ones. Behind the Dallas Cowboys, but they probably should be. They probably should be.
They're only 50 cents behind Philadelphia. You're right, Tony. The second best number for the 49ers to win the NFC title. But yes, there are some serious questions for San Francisco moving forward. Philadelphia, the favorites now, not only to win the NFC championship, but a co-favorite to win Super Bowl 58 against the team they lost to in Super Bowl 57. That's because the Chiefs, part of a stunner yesterday, DRS, on a Sunday in Denver. KC entered winning 16 straight games against their divisional foe in the Broncos. But KC looked like everybody had the flu, not just Patrick Mahomes, who was dealing with a flu for most of the week leading up to this Sunday game against the Broncos. Denver wins big, 24-9. They hold Kansas City to zero touchdowns, just three field goals from Harrison Butker. Russell Wilson throws for three TDs on the other side, and the Broncos snapped the 16-game skid against Kansas City, winning outright, Donnie, as a 7.5-point underdog.
What's the common denominator in this football game? Look at Travis Kelce, only 58 yards receiving. The Kansas City Chiefs lost. Why? Probably should have flown in Taylor Swift to sit in one of those booths at Invesco Field out there in Denver to sort of give them a little bit of an up. But also, you can't play bad football on the road. And even in a close game, which the Chiefs usually always pull out, you fumble a punt return on your own 5-yard line that basically ended that game. Tell me, coming into this game, you're going to get quarterback play out of Russell Wilson. 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. That's awesome. He threw for 114 yards, which means they were set up by the run and turnovers and great field position here. The Denver Broncos now move to 3-5 on the season. Are we talking playoffs for them? Absolutely not at this point, but more questions come up for Kansas City, and sometimes these losses come at a good time. Does anybody ever cheer on a loss if you're a Kansas City fan or the ownership group? Absolutely not, but sometimes when you lose, and in this fashion, it spurs some change. I'm not saying you're going to go out and make a trade for a wide receiver. We saw the scuttlebutt last week, and we'll get to this game probably a little bit later. You know, Will Levis is the quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins, he is going to want to be traded so fast. Yeah, did you see the performance yesterday with a cannon arm for Will Levis for Hopkins? I don't know who's available at the wide receiver position, but boy, oh boy, it looks like Kansas City's like, where's our Tyreek Hill? Heck, even where's our Juju Smith-Schuster from last year as well? They're not appearing.
Some crucial drops in that game. The rookie Rashee Rice out of SMU, who was coming on strong for this Chiefs offense, had a big one late in that second half. So, Donnie, there is only one-loss team in the National Football League. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. There are 4 teams at 6-2, a couple around the AFC, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Jacksonville Jaguars alongside the Miami Dolphins. Donnie, you will see all of those teams atop the AFC title odds. Kansas City still the favorite at plus 220, nearly $3 in front of the Dolphins. Those two teams will face off next Sunday in Frankfurt, Germany for the first time in NFL history. Donnie, as we talk about the Jags, though, it's 5 straight wins. For Jacksonville. The Jags are 6-2. They go to Pittsburgh on a sloppy day yesterday and win by double digits, 20-10. So much DRS for those Pittsburgh Steelers as a home underdog.
Yeah, and also, you thought the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing horrendous the entire game. You see Kenny Pickett goes down with an injury, and there they are within a touchdown. I'm like, oh, here we go. A perfect Steelers game where they play horrendously and somehow pull out the football game. That's not the case. That's a really good win for Jacksonville. Keep in mind, Jacksonville's still trying to learn how to win, and they're doing it.
5 straight wins for the Jags. They've covered it all 5. More reaction Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More reactions from around week 8 in the National Football League and what we saw over a Sunday slate. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Donnie right side, a huge fan of the Birds. And Donnie, it's never easy for the Eagles when they take on the Commanders. They escaped the first time these two teams met less than a month ago. And yesterday, outside the nation's capital in Landover, Maryland, it was tough for the Birds as well. They win by 7. There were 2 touchdowns. In the final 2 minutes of the game, first Philadelphia and DeAndre Swift out of the tush-push formation. They run a counterplay, and DeAndre Swift fooled the entirety of Washington's defense to stroll in. It was a 14-point lead for the Birds. We thought they were going to cover as a 7-point favorite, only for Sam Howell to throw a 20-plus yard touchdown to Jamison Crowder with just over a minute remaining for that push. Regardless, the Eagles victorious 38-31, Donnie. They are the only one-loss team remaining in the NFL. Philly holds the league's best record at 7-1 overall.
Just shows you how powerful the Philadelphia Eagles are. And for some reason, the Washington Commanders always give the Philadelphia Eagles fits. They're down 14-3 in that game yesterday. Now, they end up scoring, Ben, 38 points in this tilt, even though they dropped the football on the ground twice inside the 3-yard line. It just shows you how good they can be on offense. Jalen Hurts, 319 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions. But the key ingredient in this game is, I don't know how you stop A.J. Brown. He's the perfect mold of speed, power, quickness, agility, hands. He goes again yesterday, setting an NFL record for another game above 125 yards, chipping in with 8 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And how about Devontae Smith over the past couple weeks? Hey, man, he's really disappeared. When is he going to step up? 7 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown for himself as well. Now, it looks like in this game, once again, we'll have to ask Doc coming on the show a little bit later. Jalen Hurts looks a little hobbled. We'll see if it's a shoulder injury, a rib, are still fighting back from that knee injury. But my goodness, if you can get that type of performance down double digits on the road in your division where you're a little bit banged up, that's pretty impressive. There's no reason to believe that the Philadelphia Eagles can't win the Super Bowl here. And as you see, it's hard to win week to week to week in the NFL. And here we are, the Philadelphia Eagles with the best record in football through week number 8 in the NFL.
Yep, 7-1, Donnie. We talked about that schedule. It's not easy for Philadelphia. We'll see that week number 9 against a divisional foe here in just a few days. But at the moment, the best record in the NFC, the only team with just one loss around the National Football League. And you mentioned A.J. Brown, 8 grabs, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, the 6th consecutive game for Brown with at least 125 receiving yards. That a new NFL record. And Donnie, I love that. 4 wide receivers. They complain when they do not receive the football, even if their team is finding ways to win the football game. They make it a point to get A.J. Brown the ball, and he is paying them back in folds with how dynamic and productive he has been. So Philadelphia wins 38-31. Well over the total yesterday. In fact, Donnie, 69 combined points between those two teams when they met to open up the month of October. 65 combined points between the Eagles and the Commanders in Philadelphia. So the Eagles on the horizon, Donnie, have a matchup weekend number 9 against the Dallas Cowboys. It is going to be one of the best games of next weekend at the Link. The Birds an early just 2.5-point favorite under a field goal. The Cowboys come in with some momentum as well. Dallas dominant yesterday at the Star, 43-20 over the LA Rams, covering as near a touchdown favorite. Jalen Hurts threw for 4 touchdowns yesterday. So too did Dak Prescott, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb breaks out, 12 grabs, 158 yards and 2 scores, 43 points, the most Dallas has put up this year. They hammer the Rams at home, Donnie, again, winning by 23.
Yeah, by the way, 33 points at the break for the Dallas Cowboys. They did in all facets here. You want to talk about defense scoring, you want to talk about special team scoring, and your offense getting in rhythm. Yesterday, I said to my guy, one of my prop bets on our morning crunch on the Pro Football Today show was CeeDee Lamb going over 64.5 yards. Every time I'm driving home, I just check a quick update, and Dallas scored another touchdown. Awesome. Who got it? What? Who's this guy? The defense did this? Yeah. It was a blocked punt on this one here? But thank goodness here was tremendous. 12 catches, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns, which coming off of that bye week the week previous before, I believe they had 7 catches for 117 yards. So this is the CeeDee Lamb that we all anticipated in that Dallas offense. And it's a titanic matchup coming up this weekend. What do you want out of the Rams at this point here? 3-5 now overall. It's just apparent they don't have a ton of talent across the board. And by the way, Cooper Kupp, 4 catches, 21 yards here. That's a pretty good defensive mind over there in Dan Quinn for the Dallas Cowboys, knowing how to shut down their lead target here. A really impressive performance for the Dallas Cowboys. This is what they do. Yeah. They pound on football teams that aren't so good. They're going to step up in weight class next week in Philadelphia. That should be a fun one.
That's the key for the boys against teams above 500. How do they perform? Dallas 5-2 now this year. They have covered in all five wins. Leaving the game early yesterday for LA, Matthew Stafford with an injured thumb. He banged it on the head of a Dallas defensive lineman on the follow through of one of his throws. And Donnie, it's a 3-5 Rams team that entered the year with a win total of 6.5 in the under, had the hefty juice. We didn't expect much. They looked better, had more talent earlier than the year than maybe some anticipated. Where does Los Angeles go from here? So there's still that clear tier of three in the NFC. The Eagles back to being the favorites at this moment, plus 220, 50 cents in front of San Francisco. The Cowboys less than $2 behind the 49ers at plus 460, and we'll see the Lions on this Monday night at 7-1. But Donnie, as we said early in the show, San Francisco, not the first place team in the NFC West, still booked as a minus 280 favorite are the 49ers, but they do not hold the first place position. That is the Seattle Seahawks, who have a 13-1 price to win the NFC Championship at this moment, the fifth best number. It was not easy on a Sunday in the Pacific Northwest, Donnie, against P.J. Walker and the Cleveland Browns, but Seattle does survive a 24-20 win, even covering as a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, how about that? Smith and Jigba here. Another touchdown catch late in that ball game. He finished on with 3 for 36, but none bigger than the one that put them in the end zone to clinch it here. But I'm looking at this game objectively here for the Cleveland Browns, because I'm really looking forward to what the future holds for that franchise. Was P.J. Walker great in that game? No. 15 of 31, 248 yards, two interceptions, which really hurt them. But yeah, this is a football team that's competing week to week to week without Deshaun Watson. When do they hand the reins back over? Because as you saw, they needed that late touchdown by Smith and Jigba to win that football game. I was really hoping Cleveland wins and goes, now hold on. When are we going to Deshaun Watson, and why are we doing this? Three straight victories for P.J. Walker coming in, and that would have moved the Browns to 5-2 overall. But I think the focal point now turns to the Seattle Seahawks, and are they official out there in the NFC West? You're talking about a 49ers team struggling. Seattle isn't struggling right now, but if you're looking at the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook, there's a reason why the Eagles are number one. Obviously, they're in first place in their division and also the best overall record in football. So we're thinking they win the division, they get home games here. The reason why the Dallas Cowboys aren't up there yet, and maybe they will be if they can beat the Philadelphia Eagles, is the fact is, if you're going to have to win football games in the playoffs on the road against quality opponents, that's really hard to do. But there's still price point here that we're saying that the Seattle Seahawks aren't going to win that division. Therefore, the 49ers will be there and probably a top two seed, and they'll get the Dallas Cowboys at home, if you can picture that later on. These are going to be an interesting next couple weeks, which include this coming weekend, because you can get a whole wrench in that NFC if the Dallas Cowboys come in and beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it will be a huge game next Sunday at the Link. Week number 9 is a huge slate of NFL football as this upcoming week will play out. But Donnie, when you look at Seattle taking advantage of sloppy play out of P.J. Walker, that touchdown to Jackson Smith and Jigba, just the second of his NFL career for the rookie wideout out of Ohio State with 38 ticks remaining. But Donnie, you talk about P.J. Walker staying competitive. They have won 2 of 3, nearly had their third straight yesterday because they were up by a field goal, trying to ice the game with just over 2 minutes remaining. Walker threw his second INT. It was his third turnover yesterday. 2 picks and a fumble. Donnie, in the 3 games that P.J. Walker has either started or played the good majority of, 1 touchdown pass to 5 interceptions. It hasn't been because of P.J. Walker they have stuck around. That quarterback situation in Cleveland will become even more interesting because of how good the team is outside of the QB position. The Ravens won yesterday on the road in the desert over Arizona, 31-24. The Cardinals kicked a field goal under a minute remaining to come back and cover as an 8.5, 9.5-point underdog. I bring that point up, though, Donnie. The Ravens, 6-2, atop the AFC North. The three other teams, the Steelers, Browns, and now the Bengals, all 4-3. How about the Battle of the Big Apple played out in New Jersey? And what a game it was yesterday. The New York Jets down by a field goal. They get the football back in their own territory around a minute remaining with no timeouts. Zach Wilson puts together one of the best offensive possessions of his NFL career, leads New York down. They spike the football with 1 second remaining, Donnie, in regulation. They make the field goal to send it to overtime, and in OT, Gangrene gets the win 13-10 over the New York Giants. The Battle of New York goes the way of the Jets. That's three straight, Donnie, for Robert Saleh's crew. They are now above 500 at 4-3.
Yeah, that annual game should be called the Rotten Apple for how poorly both of those offenses played for the majority of the game. I mean, my goodness, the Jets held minus 9 yards passing as a team for the Giants. That is outrageous here. And by the way, Saquon Barkley, 36 carries for 128. He is going to be questioned late in that game, going down when he had an extra couple yards that could have picked up another first down and iced that game. So this is what the Giants are now, 2-6 football team. Where do they go? When does Daniel Jones come back? Or does it even matter if he comes back? And you're basically playing for next year's ping pong balls in the lottery, so to speak.
The over-under for that game between the Jets and the Giants was 36.5. It stays well under. Some college football conversations coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A recap of the final Saturday in October of the 2023 college football weekend. We are live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. And Donnie, 18 straight. That was how many home games in a row Utah had won inside Salt Lake City in the friendly confines of Rice-Eccles. So to see a team in Oregon be near a touchdown favorite on the road was almost unfathomable pregame. And then we saw what the Ducks did during the game. Domination out of the Ducks, one of the best teams in college football this season, 35-6, the victory for Oregon over Utah, snapping that 18-game win streak, for Utah at home. Donnie, the Ducks were great with Bo Nix. He goes over 243.5, finishing with 248, playing clean football on the road this year. And Donnie, the reason that we had some optimism, if you were going to back Oregon laying near a touchdown, is because of how good the Ducks defense is and was on Saturday afternoon, holding a Utah team that is predicated on running the football to only 99 yards on the ground as a team, just 2.8 yards per carry. Oregon wins 35-6, covering as a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and this game was 35-6 entering into the fourth quarter. This wasn't a couple like, oh, Utah's got to go on fourth and long on their own 20-yard line to get some freebies here. That's not the case. Oregon, far and away, was the better football team. And I expected that coming in, an Oregon victory. Having said that now, I've said it all along this season. I understand Oregon is not in first place technically overall in the standings in the Pac-12 because you have a team there like Washington who's still winning football games, not as impressive maybe as they were early in the season. But if you give me teams that are matching up on a neutral site, I'll take Oregon over Washington. When they met early in the season, I thought Washington was going to win that football game. Number one, I love Michael Penix. I love that offense. But it was just the fact of the matter of where that football game was being played. It's a great home field advantage in Husky Stadium. The same thing would be in Autzen. I'm still rolling with the Oregon Ducks here. They are a legitimate contender to make the college football playoff and do damage. Why? They win in all facets here. A very good defense and also a quarterback making $2 to $3 million a year off the NIL, and he looks happy doing it here. Bo Nix is a legitimate threat here. He could do some damage in that college football playoff, and I'm rooting on the Ducks.
Bodacious, baby. 24 of 31 on Saturday in Salt Lake for 248 yards and 2 touchdowns. The completion percentage for Bo Nix this year, DRS, 78.3. Right. It is the best at the FBS level of any quarterback. And Donnie, there was a rhetoric that followed Bo Nix after he left Auburn, that on the plains in Jordan-Hare, one of the best quarterbacks you will see, but away from Auburn, he struggled. And we saw that early on last year in his opening year in Eugene. Road worries for Bo Nix. Then he got rid of him toward the end of last season. And this year, Donnie, now 10 touchdowns, 0 INTs for Oregon on the road. That is how good he has been. It is why Oregon is a 7-1 football team. And Donnie, it's about finding the two best teams in the Pac-12. I think right now we are on track to see a rematch between the Huskies and the Ducks on a neutral site come that opening weekend in Las Vegas of the month of December in the Pac-12 title game. And it should be noted, Donnie, that tomorrow, a spooky unveiling of the first college football playoff rankings in 2023. How the CFP selection committee evaluates the country in college football this year. I cannot wait to get mad for no reason whatsoever at what the CFP committee has to say tomorrow.
Exactly. And understand this, people. If you haven't watched this television show, I recommend not watching it at all because it's just a it might as well be a sitcom here. With the writers are all strike again. This is fantastic because they're right back to what they do. All they do is mix and match two or three teams here, changing a spot weekly just to get that hype talk here. It absolutely means nothing because once you get to the last day of the season, they will set the scene just like they want it for the playoffs here. It's theater before that. Don't worry about that show tomorrow. It's one of my biggest pet peeves in sports, the meaningless of the revealing of those things based upon just getting TV ready. Because you see how the rankings are out today. Can you imagine tomorrow? And I guarantee this, if you have out of the AP, whatever you use, 1 through 8 or whatever, how many do they actually rank in the show, Ben? Is it 6 or is it 8 teams?
Who?
How many get ranked on the show tomorrow?
All 25.
Playoff show.
Yeah, all 25. They do a top 25.
What's the final screen, though? I think it's like 16.
Six
place right here.
Six, four that would make it and the two on the outside. Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the key, and right, I'm going to fill you in on this. Those six that are ranked right now will be different tomorrow on purpose because you need something to talk about in that show to continue.
Yep.
A meaningless college football show. Tune in here to the Sports Grid Network. We'll fill you much, much better than that actual show.
That was more heat than I expected Donnie Wrightside to have about the CFP rankings being unveiled for the first time this season. I'm excited for it. DRS, a huge Saturday in Lawrence, Kansas. For the first time since 1997, Kansas gets a win over Oklahoma, snapping a nearly 20-year-long skid against the Sooners. For the first time, Donnie, since 2008, Kansas with the win over OU gets its sixth of the year. That's the first time in the last 15 the Jayhawks have been bowl eligible in back-to-back seasons. A 38-33 victory after an hour-long weather delay in the opening half. In my whole thought into this game, Donnie, how would Oklahoma's rush defense, that has not been great the last two games for the Sooners, hold up against Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw? They didn't. Kansas ran the football 41 times for 225 yards and 4 rushing scores. KU hands Oklahoma its first loss of the season. Kansas hands Oklahoma its first loss in this series since 1997. The Jayhawks win outright, Donnie, as a 7.5-point underdog.
Cool temperature day. The only thing I can think of in this game, I wonder if Steve Smith Sr. actually called the, you know, Kansas Jayhawks a basketball school and got them upset, similar to Dave Doran down at NC State. Because, by the way, the Jayhawks, this isn't a fluke here. You're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the nation not playing. They have a substitute quarterback in and able to handle the top 10 Sooners in their own building. I love to see this stuff because sports are cyclical here. And no, we're not saying Kansas is going to go on a run here as a major in this conference because you could have said that, I guess, what is it? Mangino way back in the day for Kansas back when they went to the Orange Bowl, won a football game. It's been a long time since we've risen to those heights. It's just good to see Kansas back there and being healthy. And as I said, to start the show, Lance Leipold builds programs here. Division III, lower Division I, and now in a Power 5 conference here. You're either going to open up that checkbook and keep them there and say, how good do we want to be? I'm not saying that Kansas can win a championship, but my goodness, you could do much worse now than what we saw over the past 20 years with Kansas football. That's a pretty good program here. I'm interested to see the future of them as well.
They signed Leipold to a long-term contract extension this past offseason when his name was in the running for many around college football. Wisconsin, Nebraska, just to name a few. I think they need to build the statue now in Lawrence for what Lance Leipold has done for Kansas football. Plenty of investment, by the way, from the school and the athletic department in constructing a new college football stadium for KU as well. Elsewhere, Donnie, one of the best rivalries in college football. football, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party on Saturday in Jacksonville. And for the third consecutive year, Georgia wins by at least 22 points. We had our questions. How would the Bulldogs look fresh off the bye without one of their best offensive pieces in Brock Bowers? They leave no questions unanswered on Saturday. 43-20. Georgia covers for just the second time this year, Donnie, and they've done so against their two best quality opponents, Kentucky and Florida, both as a 14.5 point favorite. A big win for UGA on Saturday in Jacksonville.
How about the Gators jumping out here with a touchdown pass for Graham Mertz? And then it was all UGA the rest of the way. And that's probably how you expect it here. We know UGA's offense is very good, and particularly down Brock Bowers. We wanted to see how they would respond. How about 43 points in a rivalry game at a neutral site? That's good enough for me. We're not looking forward to UGA going, oh, you know what? Doesn't look like they're going to make the college football playoff. They're going to fall here. They're going to be a player at the end. Why? Because it's 1 5-star down, another 5-star steps up. Carson Beck, 19 of 28, 315, and 2 touchdown passes. How about Ladd McConkey at wide receiver? 6 catches for a buck 35. Georgia's here to stay, no matter if they had an injury to a top player. And also, keep rolling down here. Did I see Brock Bowers in a jersey in that football game? No signs of, hey, let me fly away to start getting ready here and not be a distraction because I'm going to get my NFL career on. That'll be fun to see if he wants to come back and play in the college football playoff, if he can do that.
If Georgia stays on this pace, a huge upcoming Saturday against Missouri, it will be a top 20 tilt in the SEC. If Georgia stays on this pace, they are going to play in the SEC title game with an opportunity to either win that game or lose it if they are undefeated and still reach the college football playoff. I think Brock Bowers is back for that. Carson Beck, 315 yards passing in the absence of Bowers still on Saturday in Jacksonville. So Georgia and Michigan remain tight. Title co-favorites, both at a plus 250 number. Of course, the maize and blue, the focus of the college football conversation the last week because of the sign-stealing scandal in Ann Arbor. Had the weekend off. They returned to the Big House this upcoming Saturday against Purdue. Florida State hammers Wake Forest 41-16 on the road in Winston-Salem. FSU, the only unbeaten team left in the ACC that is starting to fall apart across the rest of the conference. Donnie, you talked about Oregon being the best team in the Pac-12. I think the Ducks certainly have that case. Washington beat Oregon at home. It was a huge win for UW. Since then, the Huskies have looked a little bit shaky against Arizona State and on Saturday night against Stanford. As a 26.5 point favorite, Donnie, Washington wins, but 42-33, 1-3 against the spread this year for the Huskies as a double-digit favorite in Pac-12 play. Michael Penix Jr., though, nearly 370 yards against a Stanford pass defense that is second worst in all of college football.
Yeah, we're looking for ultra impressive performances, right? We're expecting Washington to win games like 50-10 routinely here. Sometimes just with survival and advance here. They know what type of club they have. Just try to stay healthy here. Nice game by Polk, 148 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns here. Penix still on the top of that pedestal here with a chance to win the Heisman Trophy. I like what Washington has going on, but you would like it to be a little bit more decisive, but a win is a win here, specifically when you're in the top 5.
Michael Penix Jr., the favorite once again to win the Heisman Trophy, the lefty signal caller for UW, now plus 270. He bounced back, Donnie, from the game against Arizona State 2 weekends ago where he didn't throw for 300 yards for the first time this year with 369 and 4 touchdowns. J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback, who has the best QBR in all of college football, entered the weekend as the solo favorite. That's because he plays for the undefeated Wolverines. Statistically, Michael Penix Jr. is better. So too is Jaden Daniels. And look at the number on Bo Nix. Again, keep Bo'Dacious front and center. Plus 550 for Bo Nix, the fourth best price. Donnie, I think all four of those men at this current moment will see their way to New York City. And Marvin Harrison Jr., spectacular once again for Ohio State on the road in Camp Randall. The Buckeyes knock off the Badgers 24-10.
You can do this with quarterbacks, right, like Michael Penix. Oh, where would Washington be, or maybe Oregon with Bo Nix? Where would they be without him? Where would Ohio State be without their superstar wide receiver, who seems like he's the only offense they have in games that actually matter? He's ultra fun to watch and also probably solidifying himself as the number 2 overall pick in the draft come April.
four consecutive games for MHJ with at least 105 receiving yards. He has five touchdowns in those four games. Right now, Donnie, six of eight games for Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr., at least 105 yards receiving. We'll talk about our weekend winners and losers. That's up next on TEM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're closing out this opening hour of a Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's our favorite time of the week, though. It's the weekend winners and losers, as myself, Ben Stevens, and Donnie Wrightside saw it from the past weekend in the world of sports. Donnie, we'll do this here and then to open up hour number two because 3 minutes, not enough time for the weekend's winners and losers. So, Donnie, start with your first winner of the weekend. Who was it?
Pretty simple. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? The best team in the NFL record-wise right now. And the reason why they get the extra bump, it wasn't that they beat the Washington Commanders for me, Ben, at all. It was the simple fact that three straight losses now from the San Francisco 49ers gives them the advantage now in the NFC. What's the best pathway to winning a Super Bowl? Getting home field advantage, getting that bye week here when nobody else has one, and playing every game at Lincoln Financial Field. We talked about them having a big game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys and a gauntlet to run through, but that gauntlet might have gotten just a little bit easier if the 49ers fall continues. So I'm going to make the Philadelphia Eagles going on the road, coming back from down double digits, my winner of the week. Why? Again, they have the best record in football and deservedly so.
Yeah. And Donnie, you mentioned it. The San Francisco 49ers following a huge matchup against the Dallas Cowboys this upcoming Sunday. If the Birds win that one, they are really going to solidify themselves not only as the favorite in the NFC, but probably the favorite to have that number one overall seed as well. Donnie, my number one winner, the Denver Broncos. When you make history at home and you snap a 16-game losing skid against a divisional foe, you deserve my respect. Listen, I have been incredibly critical of Russell Wilson, of Sean Payton, of the direction of this Denver franchise. So when they do good things, Donnie, I will also highlight the positives. The Broncos, my number one winner of this past weekend.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too, because sometimes you have to just get off the mat and restart your franchise here. The trade deadline is coming up. That's a nice win to try to reevaluate. Are you going not all in on the season? Are you selling the season, looking forward to the future? But that's a nice building block to take on the Chiefs, somebody you never were able to beat over, like, the past decade or so.
And they played a little Shake It Off by Taylor Swift in Mile High after the victory. She wasn't there. My voice just cracked. We'll see you in hour two in 55 seconds.